Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Today, I will tell you that our enemies are terrified right now that we are all in the same room, and that is a true statement.
General Dan Raisin Kane, yesterday, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, doing the he was kind of the crowd work warm up act for Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, and then of course President Trump spoke for. Oh my God, how long was President Trump's speech? I mean, it was so long. It was. Hold on, no, I have a rough. 74 minutes. 70. The New York Times headline on the President Trump speech was, this was, it's not verbatim. The gist was, a rambling, boring, political re-warm-up hash over until minute 44. That's the part where we started talking about using American streets as practice ranges for the United States military. I'm not going to get into it. We played the whole speech from Trump yesterday. 74 minutes of it. Oh, my God. So rambling. So ridiculous. And not that interesting, frankly. Pete Hegseth's speech, on the other hand, extraordinarily interesting. Very, very interesting. So we're going to spend the bulk of the day talking through Pete Hegseth's speech. But Dan Kane's comments are, enemies are all terrified that we're all in one group. I don't know about you. I don't want to assume. But the most common comment I got was, do you think it's a great idea to tell the whole world in advance that every single one of our senior leaders is all located in one place in this building over here where the X is, you know, like that. No, nothing happened. I'm sure security was high, but still, yeah, I mean, that didn't, and all the president too, you know, that didn't seem like a great strategy, but it, you know, I guess, you know, no foul, no harm, whatever, no big deal.
This was no small feat to put this event together in short order. And I'm glad there's pull-up bars just outside. The SEALs in the corner out there are very happy about that. I regret to inform you there will not be a PT test after this event because I know you all would crush it.
That was a little bit of a taste of things to come, by the way. That seemed like a kind of an offhand, squirrely comment by Chairman Kane, but... it was, you know, because that's going to come up a lot later in Pete Hegseth's speech, if you know the speech. But, you know, what Dan Kane had to say about all this was, I thought, fairly interesting. By the way, it was a major thing. You know, you know, if you're an admiral, if you're a general, you have a schedule, you know, and they usually work weeks in advance. How do I know? Because we're going to have the commanding officer of Naval Education Training Command on tomorrow. Admiral Huffman Capo is going to be here with us. And, you know, I mean, they started reaching out to me like a month ago because that's how they work. You know, he's a two-star. Okay, so they, you know, they do stuff in advance. That's going to be at 7:10 tomorrow, by the way. So all of a sudden, you got all of these people with all of their schedules. Hey, drop everything. Come to Quantico here on a Tuesday, and everything will be fine. Anyway, last comment from Dan Kane.
Leaders, we are living in dynamic and potentially dangerous times. Global risk is on the rise. Our adversaries are no longer aligning. They are aligned. And we must align with equal resolve and unity. Even as we strive for and seek peace, we must be prepared for war.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the word all along, ever since, of course, Trump got elected. But even before that, that's been the word, but particularly since Trump got elected. You know, China is coming, you know, like winter is coming, China is coming, and we have to be prepared for that. They're no longer aligning, they are aligned. All right, so then Pete Hegseth gets up and speaks, and, you know, very, like I say, very interesting speech. Lots of content, lots of policy, lots of things to sort of chat about.
And as history teaches us, the only people who actually deserve peace are those who are willing to wage war to defend it. That's why pacifism is so naive and dangerous. It ignores human nature and it ignores human history. Either you protect your people and your sovereignty, or you will be subservient to something or someone. It's a truth as old as time.
Yeah, the only real exception to that, of course, is people who are the beneficiaries of somebody else having done the fighting and the policing and the deterring. This is, you know, Europe or much of the Western, even the Eastern world, benefiting from American strength and, you know, deterring or defeating enemies has benefited a lot of people that did not themselves participate in the fight. But yeah, I mean, somebody's got to be willing to do it, right?
Should our enemies choose foolishly to challenge us, they will be crushed by the violence, precision, and ferocity of the War Department. In other words, to our enemies, F-A-F-O. If necessary, our troops can translate that for you.
it's not mess around and find out, by the way. John, you don't know that one? You don't know F-A-F-O?
Well, I was trying to...
You don't
hang
around with enough of the youngins these
days. See, from my accounting background, I was like, first out.
first in, first out.
Yeah. FIFO.
Not FIFO, FAFO.
FAFO.
Let's just say it's an acronym that I cannot say on the air.
Let's just say that.
Let's just say it that way, all right?
We are the strength part of peace through strength. And either we're ready to win or we are not.
And so this whole speech was essentially about declaring pre-war, right? I mean, we would prefer to avoid war, but we need to be ready for war. Not theoretical, maybe in the future war, but real imminent threat of war. And he never said China, but with China, right? That's obviously who we're talking about. Maybe a little bit of Russia, maybe a little bit of Iran, maybe a little bit of North Korea, but China. China's the real threat. And so the question is, are we really ready? And I don't think anybody says we're really ready. I mean, we're capable of going. But are we where we really need to be? When, what was the number? I saw this report the other day. I was reading it. I don't want to give you the wrong percentage. When it comes to readiness for combat deployment, a small-scale survey of Army hardware and Marine vehicles showed that 5 out of 6 Army combat vehicles did not meet mission capable standards for a single year, an entire year. Of the 6 Army support vehicles examined, they were mission capable only 20% of the time. The goal is to have 90% readiness in the Army. The Marine Corps doesn't have a similar goal, but 5 of the 7 Marine vehicles had declines in readiness that were comparable over the last 9 years, meaning that a supermajority, something like 75-80% of just, again, a small-scale sample by the Government Accounting Office, found that Army and Marine Corps vehicles are not ready and not even close to ready for actual combat. So there's that. You know, there's problems we have in the force. We're trying to fix all of this stuff.
This urgent moment, of course, requires more troops, more munitions, more drones, more Patriots, more submarines, more B-21 bombers. It requires more innovation, more AI in everything, and ahead of the curve. More cyber effects, more counter UAS, more space, more speed. America is the strongest, but we need to get stronger and quickly. The time is now, and the cause is urgent.
And so we got a $1 trillion budget for next year for the Pentagon, which is, you know, first time ever that it's been even, I mean, it's been, what, 750, 770, I think, something in that vicinity, not quite 800 billion. These numbers are so unfathomable. $800 billion. Anyway,
America cannot do everything. The free world requires allies with real hard power, real military leadership, and real military capabilities.
Which, by the way, is something I've said many times to President Trump's credit. He has absolutely deserves the credit for emphasizing that to NATO allies and others, non-NATO allies also. But, you know, whether it's working with the Australians or, I mean, the Japanese or, you know, our NATO allies or other powers around the world that are not aligned with our adversaries, getting them to spend more on national defense, you know, jacking up the NATO requirement or target goal for 5%, which is more than anybody spends, including us. We are at 3% of our GDP. Of course, NATO allies are nowhere close to that other than Poland. Poland has been the one that recently said, oh crap, Ukraine, Russia. Yeah, we're in, which is kind of understandable for them given their both history, you know, Poland's history, but also their proximity to Russia and what Russia has been willing to do.
Topic today is about the nature of ourselves. Because no plan, no program, no reform, no formation will ultimately succeed unless we have the right people and the right culture at the War Department.
Yeah, ultimately, as and this has been emphasized quite a bit. In fact, again, it's going to be interesting. We talk to Capo tomorrow about this, that, you know, NETC is a people command. It's about training people to be. NETC does all the training in the Navy, except for a few exceptions. They prepare everybody to be capable of doing their job. And the purpose of that is to make the people the right people. And to get the people to be fantastic, because, you know, you can spend billions of dollars on ships and planes and, you know, submarines and munitions, and we do. But if inept people or even just, you know, substandard people are operating them, what good does it do you? I, not to pick on anybody, but, you know, you can put the best F-16 or the M1 Abrams in the hands of the Ukrainians who don't have the training for it, and it doesn't do them much good. Because they're not the right people. So we are making the right people, the right airmen and seamen and soldiers, and, you know, we're making the right people in order to operate the equipment the right way, because all that great equipment is not the key. It's having the right, I mean, they got to have the equipment, but they got to have the people too.
The best way to take care of troops is to give them good leaders committed to the warfighting culture of the department. Not perfect leaders, good leaders, competent, qualified, professional, agile, aggressive, innovative, risk-taking, apolitical, faithful to their oath and to the Constitution.
And that's going to turn out to be most of you, but not all of you, is what he's saying, which he said later on in the speech. Because as he laid out his and President Trump's vision for the military in the future, it was explicitly said, some of you will not agree with this. You can go. If you're not on board with this, if it doesn't make your heart sing, I think was the exact phrase he used, the door's there. We don't want you. We don't need you. We will do it without you because you're going to only get in the way.
In many ways, this speech is about fixing decades of decay. Some of it obvious, some of it hidden. Or as the chairman has put it, we are clearing out the debris, removing the distractions, clearing the way for leaders to be leaders. You might say we're ending the war on warriors.
I think that's not the name of the book he wrote. It's something like that. Anyway.
For too long, we've promoted too many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons. Based on their race. Based on gender quotas. Based on historic so-called firsts. We've pretended that combat arms and non-combat arms are the same thing. We've weeded out so-called toxic leaders under the guise of double-blind psychology assessments, promoting risk-averse, go-along-to-get-along conformists instead. You name it, the department did it.
By the way, that's a theme in the speech, is people who are risk-takers have been punished under the current evaluative standards at the Pentagon. We need to undo that and to encourage people to take, you know, to be wise and then to take smart risks. Smart risks will sometimes fail. We can't punish people for always because they fail, because sometimes failure is a byproduct of doing innovative, good things that don't always work out. But if you always punish people for making mistakes, then you're never going to get innovation and creativity. You're just going to get, you know, more of the same kind of bureaucrat mindset instead. And that was a theme, and I very much agree with that. That was a very important theme of this speech.
Foolish and reckless political leaders set the wrong compass heading, and we lost our way. We became the woke department, but not anymore. This administration has done a great deal from day one to remove the social justice, politically correct, and toxic ideological garbage that had infected our department, to rip out the politics. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions. No more debris. As I've said before, and will say again, we are done with that.
And it's a good place to pause. That's the preamble. there was no policy in that other than, you know, we're ending all of this woke nonsense, which, of course, has been a theme ever since President Trump took over. But we'll come back to this. Like I said, this was I know the government shut down. Okay. Who knows how long it was shut down? 5 days last time under President Trump won, 45. Gulf Islands National Seashore looks like it's closed, although it's been really scarce to get accurate information about that. And you can't, like, look on their Facebook page, because in order for somebody who employed by Gulf Islands to post it, they'd have to be working. And if they're not working, you know, but we'll see whether it's open. In the past, it's been you could go into some of the parks, you know, but they weren't properly staffed. And so they had vandalism concerns. Channel 3 was reporting that they were telling the campers they had to get out, I think. So, you know, I'm kind of waiting to see exactly what happens this morning. But yeah, the government shut down. But honestly, this is the biggest story of the day. Because this is, I mean, as a military area, thinking about these issues, taking seriously what the Secretary of War is saying, and considering the implications, not just for training and recruiting and, you know, developing a military, but, I mean, if we're in a pre-war footing, as I think we are, and as many, many people have said before, this stuff matters. So we'll keep talking about this throughout the morning. I'm just kind of – my plan is for the opening segments of the tops of the hour to just kind of walk through this speech because, you know, if you didn't hear it, you need to hear it. It's really that important. 6 to 5:25 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions. Because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A good teacher. He really seems to care. About what, I have no idea.
La, la, yeah. La, la, wait till I get my money right. I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I awoke, I spent that on a necklace. I told God I'll be back in a second. Man, it's so hard not to act reckless.
Good morning, 5:28 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Have you heard that there's a government shutdown going on? Is that... Yeah, has anybody talked about that at all?
We still have flights going, you know. They're still stopping people at the border, you know.
The world is still turning.
Yeah, a lot of things are still happening. So,
top Trump administration officials visiting Memphis today as the federal crime-fighting surge gets underway. Attorney General Pam Bondi and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will be meeting with law enforcement and National Guard troops there. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee welcoming that effort. Memphis Mayor Paul Young, though, says he didn't request the Guard, but he is hoping it will bring some positive results to the city. In Colorado, authorities reopening the investigation into journalist and author Hunter S. Thompson's 2005 death at the request of his widow, Anita Thompson. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation is reviewing that case, which originally was ruled a suicide. And new laws taking effect today across the U.S., bringing changes for pets, safety, and technology. The trooper law here in Florida, making it a felony to tie up and abandon a dog during a disaster. Connecticut now requiring helmets on e-bikes. And if you're headed to Ohio, they have banned police ticket quotas, Andrew.
Now?
Just now.
Aren't they like 40 years behind?
Yeah, probably roughly.
My grandmother was actually, I kid you not, my grandmother was one of the people who was involved in, you know, ending that practice in Florida. So it's like in the, 70s or 80s, whenever they came here from Michigan. So, you know, she got heavily involved in, state politics at that point down in, like, Fort Myers. I mean, I just, like, who still has this?
Well, you know, news travels slow in the middle of the country.
Moving the other direction. I guess it doesn't always get there real fast.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. We are a few hours into the first government shutdown in just about 7 years.
We don't want it to shut down because we have the greatest period of time ever. I told you, we have $17 trillion being invested. So the last person that wants it shut down is us.
President Trump before the Senate cast their ballots.
The vote was 55 to 45, falling short of the 60 votes needed to pass. Where do we go from here? Majority Leader John Thune saying that we can expect to see some procedural votes pertaining to the government funding bill later today.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, Senate Democrats John Fetterman, Catherine Cortez Mastro, plus independent Angus King, who caucuses with Democrats, voted for it. Republican Senator Rand Paul voted against it, and police closing the Oktoberfest fairgrounds in Munich this morning over a bomb threat. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 67 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Well, the government shutdown significantly impacting operations at national parks, and that includes Fort Pickens at the Gulf Islands National Seashore. WEAR reporting that campers have been told they are going to have to leave. Despite the option for parks to remain partially open, the majority of national parks expected to completely close down.
I've been run here by hurricanes, but I haven't been run out by the government.
Reaction from one camper there. A lot of campers who had planned visits are being left disappointed, some having traveled long distances to stay here. Local employees at the federal research agencies also preparing to limit their operations, further highlighting the shutdown's reach. A Pensacola man's accused of robbing a local Whataburger drive-thru. Pensacola police recently arrested 36-year-old Alvis Collins. He's accused of robbing the restaurant on East Burgess Road earlier this month. Police say he ordered a drink in the drive-thru. When he got to the window, he pointed a gun at the cashier. Reportedly apologized, but demanded the money in the register. Collins allegedly got $100 from the register and the drink. Officers found the vehicle with that Whataburger cup still inside. At a local apartment complex, PPD stopped Collins as he left the apartment. They found the handgun that matched the description of the one used at that apartment. Collins is now being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. Well, Florida Power and Light responding to a renewed request from the State Office of Public Counsel to consider a counterproposal regarding its proposed electric rate increases. The Public Counsel pushing for reconsideration of a previous ruling by the commission chairman, which dismissed the proposal. FPL argues the request is not legally sound, and they say it lacks merit. This comes as the Public Service Commission is preparing for hearings starting October 6th on their proposed four-year settlement, which includes significant rate hikes. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. We do have 67 degrees in Milton, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 71 right now in Pensacola. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The U.S. government partially shut down just after midnight, hours after Congress failed to pass stopgap funding bills. Republicans and Democrats refused to budge from their opposing positions on a funding deal to avoid a shutdown. A key sticking point was Democrats' insistence on including the extension of enhanced Affordable Care Act tax credits. President Trump has unveiled plans to launch a government-run website dubbed TrumpRx for consumers to buy drugs directly from manufacturers, and Pfizer plans to offer some of its drugs on the site at a reduced rate. Separately, Trump said Pfizer would also offer all of its drugs to Medicaid at a reduced, most favored nation price. Pfizer's stock rose nearly 7% upon the news. OpenAI is releasing an AI video-generating app called Sora that lets people create and share AI videos that can be spun from copyrighted content. Company officials added that copyright owners must opt out of having their work appear in the video feed. Futures are moderately lower. That's Your Money Now.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me?
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John and I are sitting here trying to remember the history of when the baseball playoffs expanded. Everybody's into their first, you know, game of the series, which is a three-game series, right, for the wild cards now. It used to be that one game, you know, win or die, you know, win or go home kind of game that was actually a lot of fun. I mean, the year we won the World Series, the Cardinals, that was the first year of that, and it was four games happening all at the same time, and all those games decided the future of everything. It was exciting. Yesterday was pretty boring. Dodgers won over the Reds 10-5. Red Sox won over the Yankees 3-1. Cubs won over the Padres 3-1. And Guardians, don't call them the Indians, lost to the Tigers 2-1. So there you go. Aggregate. What did I tell you, John? Aggregate no more than four runs in the other three games. And a pitcher's duels, first game, you know, postseason. Right. That's the way that works. Yesterday, had a good chance to talk with our friend and our sheriff. He's both. Chip Simmons. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
You looked all apprehensive, like I was going to...
You were going to say something
crazy. I wasn't. I
like
wasn't.
You always do.
I just mouth fumbled is all it was. you guys had a shooting, or you guys responded to a shooting at Forest Creek. Kind of a weird situation.
Well, you know, we're oftentimes going to weird situations, yeah. Where it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Forest Creek apartments, we had a deputy who was working off duty up there. He hears gunshots. He goes to investigate, obviously.
Okay, so your deputy's working off duty, and he hears, he's actually on scene to hear
gunshots. Right,
he is the human shot spotter.
Right.
Okay. But
they hear it, and he does what he's supposed to do, runs towards the gunshots to investigate it. And as he does, several people are running around. You know, then he sees one person that looks like they're up to no good. He tries to chase that person. That person jumps a fence. He ends up chasing him. Ultimately, he finds out that that individual had a gunshot wound to his chest. So, obviously, he was involved to some degree.
The guy running away from him had a gunshot wound to the chest, and he's running away from the deputy.
That's correct.
Wow. Okay. All right.
He is expected to survive, and obviously, we want to know what he has to say, but we have not yet had an opportunity to talk to him.
Because he's been treated or just haven't, whatever.
Just hasn't. Okay. Hasn't really decided to talk to us.
When was that?
This happened over the weekend.
Over the weekend. Okay. It seems like we've had, and I'll take it. You know, we don't have a lot of super quiet weeks in Escambia County, but it seems like a pretty quiet week, crime-wise. Take it?
Yeah. Good? Yeah. Things are going.
I mean, the closest next thing was you guys were doing a joint drug enforcement action with the ATF, and you got a guy for, you know, possession with intent and unregistered short barrel shotgun, stuff like that, right? Which you guys work with them. You work with other agencies of these things all the time, right?
Yeah. You know, we're a part of a number of different task forces and really just collaborations. Depends on what the situation is. Sometimes we work with the Postal Service. Sometimes we work with Customs. Sometimes we work with ICE. Sometimes we work with a number of people on specific cases. But also we have task forces. We have MOUs with certain agencies to further certain investigations, specifically DEA. We target fentanyl quite a bit. And so we're on a couple of different task forces with them. So what you're hearing, what you will hear, is specific cases where this individual is arrested or that individual is arrested. And that goes along with our priority with fentanyl and priority with weapons and drugs and the combination of that. So, and my thought is every time we arrest somebody, our community gets a little bit safer, you know, because we talk a lot about this connection, as I just mentioned, with guns and drugs. And so a lot of times when we're catching them with guns, the U.S. Attorney's Office is adopting these cases more than they ever have, more in my experience. So we continue to work with them because we want these people off the streets.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. The people that I know at the U.S. Attorney's Office, they do not love recognition. I wish I could give them more, but they actually prefer not to get it. They just don't love their names being out there alive, which I understand. You know, that's true, too. Speaking of the human shot spotter, ShotSpotter itself, the technology, have we found a funding source for this, or is it going to go away? When does that expire?
Well, it should expire any week now.
Oh,
okay. We're gonna start working towards whatever we do outside of that. The sky's not falling. ShotSpotter was a benefit. It was incorporated with our real-time crime center. But honestly, over 90% of the time, the ShotSpotter, there was not a shot fired in anger. There was not an individual that was there. I can point to
so
a
it
couple
was,
cases.
So it was misfires, discharge, accidental discharges,
or
things like that.
Or intentional up in the air or shooting at a snake or whatever that they may be doing. Sometimes when we get there, people are gone. So there's no one injured.
I see.
So that's the vast majority of the indications that we get. And because we are concentrating on the camera systems that we have, on the license plate readers and those sort of things, that's become the focus of the real-time crime center. And throughout the country, a lot of people weren't necessarily fans of ShotSpotter for that. They claimed the accuracy wasn't there. That's not been our experience. The accuracy was pretty good with regards to ShotSpotter. It does give us an indication. But, again, I'm not the one that – I don't have $400,000 to just throw at this thing. I want people on the streets. I want to put my money where I think it'll do the
most
good.
So it may be sort of a blessing in disguise in a sense. It wasn't a great benefit. It would cost money, and the fact that the funding goes away, okay.
It's not something that we just harp on and we languish about.
Human intel combined with the cameras and the plate readers is going to do you as much good as the ShotSpotter ever
did. That's always been our focus. That's always been our goal, to continue to enhance this capability. In fact, something's going to the board on Thursday.
Oh, for the cameras, right, at Pensacola Beach?
Absolutely, yeah. We've had this phase one. Now we're going to have phase two. Phase one was cameras that about a year and a half ago or so. The cameras on the boardwalk, the wooden walkway type areas as a boardwalk. And now we're doing phase two. So it's going to be seven more fixed site cameras, which is each one has four cameras in it. That's going to be on the parking area of the boardwalk.
Okay.
And then we also, part of that is also seven fixed cameras on the Casino Beach parking lot. So, it's really going to enhance the security, hopefully act as a deterrent to Pensacola Beach, and we're going to cover the main body of Pensacola Beach pretty well now with these cameras. Again, they're all the public areas. No one's looking into someone's backyard.
Yeah. You know, so you make me think of a really, probably a sort of a politically difficult question, so I'm going to ask you.
of course.
Of course I will. Several years ago, the beach converted to the amber lights, right? From the bright lights that they've had forever that are normal, to protect the turtles.
Right.
Okay. But the amber lights are not very bright. And if you're talking about dark areas, particularly in the parking lot at Casino Beach, I know when I walk around there, I mean, I don't ever feel particularly unsafe, but it occurs to me that, you know, dark areas, cars, people milling about, uncertainty, and the possibility of bad behavior all kind of go together. Do the dimmer lights, has there been any correlation with that and increased bad behavior in the vicinity that you know of? Is that a concern for you at all?
Well, I mean, again, I'm not the one that decides whether this light is going to sure. save the turtle. I really haven't done a lot of research on turtle behavior.
I gotcha.
But if I say, as I've said in the past, I'm a fan of lights, of cameras, in action. Right. I'm a fan of all those three things.
Camera, and door kicking.
Yeah.
That's right.
We want to make sure that we're doing what we can to make sure the community is safe. And I think the cameras are going to do that. And lights obviously will do that. But I don't know that the amber lights were there on the boardwalk. I wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't know how many turtles are crossing right there between Casino Beach and the boardwalk.
Yeah.
I'm just not aware of that sort of thing.
Okay.
Now down the street, I know that there are those thoughts where the crossings and that take place.
It hadn't occurred to me before. I was just curious if there was a, you know, assessment of any kind or thought about that.
I figure
from a law enforcement perspective, you always want more lights as bright as possible. And, then obviously there's balancing concerns with nature in this particular vicinity. So I was just curious. It's something that's come for the last couple of days. I know Scott Lunsford, the tax collector, had put a note out about this. And I talked with Chief Deputy Tift yesterday about this from Santa Rosa. But not everybody hears our portion of the show. So let's make sure that we cover it a little bit. You and I have had many conversations about the changes in the law related to open carry. And before that, to concealed carry and everything else. Many times. We talk about guns a lot. One of the notes that Scott put out is, none of this changed the statute about having a gun near a school. 1,000 feet from a school is a gun-free zone, and that's true whether you had a concealed carry permit. That's true for open carry. Even in your car, which has its own kind of special rules, you're not supposed to have a gun available to you to use 1,000 feet from a school, right?
You're not supposed to have a gun on school property. That's correct.
So even if you're – the one I always think of is the car rider line.
Right.
People, you know, may not think about how in the car rider line you're on school property and you're not supposed to have a gun, even a concealed, even with a permit or an open carry. It's supposed to be not ready to use. It's supposed to be, you know, unloaded, if at all, in your trunk or whatever. Right? That's all correct?
You're not supposed to have a gun on school property.
I got you.
That's you know, sometimes we can overthink things.
Yeah,
and,
all right.
And as we mentioned
What do
before,
you mean?
Yeah, you're one of the worst. I think that... I mean, honestly, I think people start to come up with these scenarios. What if this? What if this? And all I can tell you is what the plain language of the statute refers to or speaks to.
Yeah.
And that is that you're not supposed to have a gun on school property. Now, a couple of years ago, there was a situation where kids were having their guns in their car and leaving them in the parking lot. But then they come to find out the school didn't have a specific restriction on it. Schools can have a restriction in a parking lot. And as I understand it, they did that restriction here in Escambia County. So you're not supposed to have a gun in the car rider line or in on school property. Now, are we stopping cars, searching cars? We're not doing that. What I'm saying is be smart about what you do.
Well, the reason it had kind of occurred to me was I was thinking about taking my kid when he just got his driver's license, so I'm not anymore, but taking him to drop him off at UWF. And if I've got a gun open in my car at UWF, okay. Not if I get out to go on the passenger side to let him drive, maybe not okay. You know, like, it's those kinds of things that people don't think about when you're on a restricted or in a restricted area and you've gone from what you think is okay to not okay. And just, you know, trying to get people to pay attention. Like, you know, the car rider line, you know, if you get out of the car rider line and you've got an open weapon on your hip, I mean, you know, just...
That's problematic.
Yeah.
And that's part of the being a responsible gun owner. And certainly with the open carry rules, basically, or freedoms that now exist in the state of Florida. I think that that's part of being responsible. You have to understand where you're going at every moment. Again, I cringe because of this site that you'll go to a grocery store, and because a grocery store doesn't allow you to open carry, you have to get out, take an holster, whatever weapons have, and place them in your car. And my fear is that someone would see what you're doing and see the thousands of dollars worth of weaponry that you take off and put in your car, and they're a broken window away from having all that stuff stolen.
Right.
So, again, pay attention to these scenarios. There are sheriffs throughout the state that are saying a bad guy can still take your gun. Again, use your head on and just common sense. If you don't think you can, you know, retain a weapon from someone that might grab it from you, then perhaps you change. You do a concealed carry. You do something else. You carry a weapon that you might be able to, to keep for your own protection.
Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go do the driver training at your course over in Brunson Field, which was fantastic. Your deputies and your sergeant were, all fantastic. They were all great. They always are. And John got to ride along in the back with my son.
Yeah, get a little car sick.
with my son, who just got his license. Hey. no, definitely. I wouldn't want to be in the back when I'm driving this. But it got me to thinking, because there's a lot of – the reason this came about is because it occurred to me that, like, a pit maneuver is a little – it's a difficult thing to do right. You know, it takes a little bit of skill, or a lot of skill. And I asked you the question, do you train for it? You said yes, and that's how we got into this conversation. Right. To me, though, it's a fascinating slice of the preparation that goes into being a cop, because it was everything I was learning to do was counterintuitive or contrary to what, 40 years of driving, 38 years of driving have taught me. Do you find it that that's a problem to teach people how to shuffle steer, how to think about safety, how to use the brake or not use the brake, all the things that go into this? Is it a challenge to get them habituated to drive like a cop has to drive under the difficult circumstances?
Well, nothing beats experience. You know, you can train all you want to. And we talked about this a couple of years ago when we began doing more pits with the stolen cars and the felons, because we're not going to let a felon go. We're going to do what we can to stop them. And the conversation was, you know what, we haven't been chasing cars like we have been in past. When I started, you chase them for anything and everything until the wheels fell off. And so you learn what your car is capable of. You learn about roadways. You learn about what the smell of burning brakes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure we caution them to understand your car and the limitations. Cars have never been better than they are today. They're faster. Their braking's better. You're just better handling cars. And roadways are better, honestly, than they were 20, 30 years ago. But it still takes a certain level of experience to understand when and where and how. Now, we can train, and we do train, as you know. We train a lot about the optimum way to pit a car. But, real life, nothing ever happens the way it's
they don't just wait for you to do it.
They don't spin and then surrender. Some do.
Yeah.
It depends on how well we spin them. but so we have to understand that as administrators that, we taught you to do this at 30 miles an hour or less. And just as they're turning to the left, you kick them right here in the rear quarter panel or whatever we decide that is the best training scenario.
Yeah.
But in real life, that's not what happens. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be flexible, and you have to use the experience and really you have to use your courage. Let's stop this person.
Yeah.
Right here, right now, even though I'm by myself. And that's what I say, we encourage it. We expect it from our deputies, and they do a fantastic job when you think about all those different scenarios that I just played out.
One of the observations I've had over the last, 10 years or so is I was stunned that my kids didn't care about driving. It's kind of funny because my oldest, who did not care about driving, is now a total car enthusiast, right? He's super into
it's
it.
It's funny how that happens. Yeah, right. His freedom is nice.
He's got his Miata. He's kitting it out. He's, anyway. But all of them have not really had an interest in it, and they were all late drivers. And so they don't have a lot of experience, even at their age. And I noticed that with their friends, because life is online or life is parents driving them around. Do you notice a difference in the driving skill, the qualities that they bring, the experience that they bring to the sheriff's agency, that they're just not accomplished drivers yet, even though they're 21 by the time they get to you? They've only had maybe a year or two instead of 5 years of experience?
That's actually a good point. What you bring to the office itself, and that's why we like hiring veterans so much, because they've already gone through a boot camp, and they're already into a military, and we're a paramilitary type of organization. So that's one thing that we consider. We have to understand that there are people that haven't been driving as long. Mm-hmm. I know when you turn 15, you get a driver's
permit.
That's right. The day you turn 15, yes. The day you turn 16, you're going to the driver's license place and hope it's not a weekend. Right. That's exactly where we were at. And so you drive. By the time you've been driving a couple of years, by the time you're 18, you've been driving
you're
for a couple
pro.
Years.
Yeah.
You know what's going on. But it's the same thing with GPS. There are people that we hire
yes.
now that
yeah.
they rely so much on GPS. Even if they know where to go, they won't know exactly when they're going to get there. What is the shortest route? And I'll be honest, sometimes I do that.
Yeah.
I'm 30 minutes away. Let's see what the shortest route. See if I'm right with my shortest route.
Yeah.
And then when you get in a car, sometimes you don't have time for that. You got to get to an area. You have to know your beat. Oftentimes there is that the GPS helps you.
Both of the kids, they don't know street names.
Right.
Like they know how to get there on the phone. They don't know the area. They don't know the beat the way you would think. They have a map in their head. They just don't have it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's that intuition you get. If I take a left right here, GPS may not know it, but if I cut here, mm-hmm. I'll avoid some traffic. I don't have to even go above the speed limit. I have to put my lights on. These are things that now we have to identify, and usually we do identify that in our own police academy, and then we continue to drive. That's why I love hiring them as cadets. They're 18, 19 years old, and they drive cars around. We can see them driving, and they can go to a couple of years of PIT training, and they can ride along with deputies and see how the cars respond and the roadways. And the driving at night is vastly different than driving in the daytime.
Sometimes there may be
a new driver that doesn't understand the lights coming at you in a two-way roadway or amber lights compared to brighter lights. These are things that we all consider in routine driving scenarios. But imagine doing that when you're responding to a what we call a hot call or something,
right.
or a officer in trouble. You want to get there as quickly as you possibly can.
No, interesting. I mean, you got me thinking now about the GPS and this. Call goes out and you're like, wait a minute, let me put it in my phone. You don't have time for that, or right. In an actual situation. So I'm glad we talked about that a little bit. Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. And tomorrow morning.
Oh, bagels and bagel heads on
Gregory Street.
Come what time?
7:30.
7:30.
Starting at 7:30.
I forgot. Thank you for reminding us.
Come and see us.
Yeah, so that'll be this morning, 7:30 at Bagelheads. 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
You can be part of the studio audience for a new season of Studio Amped at WSRE. The free concert series begins this Friday with artists from the Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival. Doors open at 6, shows start at 7 in the WSRE Amos Studio at Pensacola State College. Visit WSRE.org for the full lineup of artists performing for the 16th season. Studio Amped, starting this Friday through October 16th at WSRE.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Jazz at Jackson's, Fall and Winter Menus, Fall Harvest Dinner, a Great Southern Dinner, Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving Grab and Go. All today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Your Honor, I object!
And why is that, Mr. Reed?
Because it's devastating to my case!
Overruled.
Good call!
mean, you have to let it get to that part, John, trying to tell me that we're short on time. Well, cut the music. Just, you can't cut Enola Gay until you get to the drums. Jeez, these people. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the federal government is officially shut down for the first time since 2019. Funding ran out just after midnight. Tens of thousands of federal workers about to go on furlough as that shutdown goes into effect. Congress, of course, not approving the spending bill last night.
All right, David, thanks so much. I think we may have a little tiny piece of input here. We got some local ambient reaction to the government shutdown.
Boo. 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 Boo.
Stream us at NewsRadio 92.3.